you can be seated. And it's a blessing to have Brother Gonzalez. I appreciate him. And I never get to on my own hear him, because I'm either here teaching and or I'm gone somewhere and he's teaching. But I'm going to absorb the opportunity today to be here. I appreciate Brother Gonzalez and what a blessing he is. And faithfulness to the Lord over so many years. Wonderful testimony. God saved him out of a Catholic home. And God helped him see Christ. He got saved and grown in the Lord. We're thankful for him. He's going to come teach us our adult Sunday school class this morning. God bless you, Brother Gonzo.
Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today?
Good.
Oh, man. Yeah, that sounded like my privates back in the day. I had to get them to do a little punishment there. Get them up, make them do push-ups. Y'all ready?
Yeah.
On your feet? No, I'm just kidding. I won't make y'all do that, because I couldn't do it anymore, actually. So, all right. So, if you will, go ahead and go to, turn your Bible to Matthew 14, 25, and 31. Start going there. I got a few jokes. I like jokes. If you already know, I like to tell jokes. I'm not very good at it, but we'll give it a shot. All right. First joke. A little boy was afraid of the dark. One night, his mother told him to go out to the back porch and bring her the broom. The little boy turned to his mother and said, "Mama, I don't want to go out there. It's dark." The mother smiled reassuringly at her son. "You don't have to be afraid of the dark," she explained. "Jesus is out there. He'll look after you and protect you." The little boy looked at his mother real hard and asked, "Are you sure he's out there?" "Yes, I'm sure. He's everywhere and always ready to help you when you need him," she said. The little boy thought about it for a minute, and then he went back to the door and cracked it open. Peering out in the darkness, he called, "Jesus, if you're out there, will you please hand me the broom?" I would be doing the same thing. I remember as a kid, I used to do the same thing. Our backyard was about 25, 30 yards. We had a pretty big yard, so when I had to throw the trash, I'd run out there, throw it over real high so it'd fall in, run back as fast as I could. That's what you do, yeah. All right, second one. So a woman went to the doctor's office. She was seen by one of the new doctors, but after about 4 minutes in the examination room, she burst out, screaming as she ran down the hall. An older doctor stopped and asked her, "What's the problem?" And she explained he had her sit down and relax in another room. The older doctor marched back to the first and demanded, "What's the matter with you? Mrs. Terry is 50 years old. She has two grown children and four grandchildren. And you told her she was pregnant?" The new doctor smiled smugly as he continued to write on his clipboard, "Cured her hiccups, right?" That's a little fear. Fear made you think of something else besides the hiccups, right? Number three, on the outskirts of town, there was a big old pecan tree by the cemetery fence. One day, two boys filled up a bucket full of nuts and sat down by the tree out of sight and began dividing the nuts. "One for you, one for me." Can you just see two boys doing that? "One for you, one for me." And one of the boys said several were dropped and rolled down toward the fence. Another boy came down riding along this road on his bicycle. As he passed, he thought he heard voices from inside the cemetery. He slowed down to investigate. Sure enough, he heard, "One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me." He just knew what it was. "Oh my," he shuddered. "It's Satan and St. Peter dividing the souls at the cemetery." He jumped back on his bike and rode off. Just around the bend, he met an old man with a cane hobbling along. "Come here," he said to the boy. "You won't believe what I heard. Satan and St. Peter are down at the cemetery dividing the souls." The man said, Beat it, kid. You can't see. Can't you see it's hard for me to walk?" When the boy insisted, though, the man decided to hobble to the cemetery with him. Standing by the fence, they heard, "One for you, one for me. One for you, one for me." The old man whispered, "Boy, you've been telling the truth. Let's see if we can see the devil himself." Shaken with fear, they peered through the fence, yet were still unable to see anything. The old man and the boy gripped the iron bars of the fence tighter and tighter as they tried to get a glimpse of Satan. Finally, they heard, "One for you, one for me, and the last one for you." "That's all," said the boy. "Now let's go get those two nuts by the fence and we'll be done." Well, amen, amen. It's good to laugh, isn't it?
Yeah.
Amen, it's good to laugh. All right, so Today we're going to talk about fear. If you read or you heard those jokes, we'll talk about fear a little bit today. We all have fears. We have godly fears and ungodly fears. We all have some type of fear. So in Matthew 14:25, we're going to read it, and then we'll pray, and we'll get into the lesson. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightly Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith." Let us pray. Father, we love you. We just thank you for what you do. Thank you for our salvation, Lord. Thank you for sending someone to tell us about you, Lord. Just thank you for allowing us to live in the country where we can be told over and over again, Lord. And, Lord, just pray that we'll just continue to tell others about you, Lord, please. Pray, Lord, as we thank you for the Bible and every word that is given to us, pray that we just don't hear it, we do it, Lord, and live it, Lord, please. Pray that you move us today, Lord, and move me out of the way, Lord, and let your people hear what you have them to hear, Lord. Pray that it's understandable, more so that it's the truth of what from the Bible, Lord, please. We love you, God, and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you go back to Matthew 14:21, it says, "In the fourth watch of the night." So it's night when Peter's out there, and he said, went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried of fear. Well, I'd be a little fearful if someone was walking on water, and at night, never seen anybody before walk on water, or not seen anybody after him and Peter walked on water. So it'd be a little fearful. I can understand the fear that you see someone walking dark, just an image, not knowing, literally on water. Understandable, right? That is fear, right? So, but this next verse is, "But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Again, being dark, seeing someone walking on the water, you've never seen anybody walk in the water, and then now speaking to them. It gets a little more scarier. You're thinking, I'd be hiding down at the bottom of the boat somewhere. You know, if I didn't have my N4, I would be for sure. And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." You know, Peter gets so much grief about talking too much, about saying things when he's not supposed to, but he's the only one that had the guts to say, "Bid me come." That's a little faith. He had a little fear, but he also had the faith there. So that's something we need to learn on how to do. When talking, he was allowed to talk of being one of the only two people that walked on the water. His ability to ask that question and get an answer allowed him to walk on water. Nobody's done it since, and probably nobody ever will. So as Peter asked Jesus, why are we so afraid to ask God for things? Fear. Why are we so afraid to ask God for things that he wants to give us? Think about that. Peter asked, he got to walk on water. Okay, just something to think about. Peter asked to walk on water. Go back to that verse. "Bid me come unto thee on the water." Peter didn't ask to be above the water. He didn't ask to be pushed on the water. He didn't ask the Lord or Jesus Christ to put him on a dolphin to carry him to Jesus. He has to be put on the water. And how did the Lord answer him? He walked on the water. He got exactly what he wanted, exactly what he asked for. If we do the same thing in the right spirit, in the right mind, we can get those same things. But it's got to have faith over fear. We fear a lot of things, but we should not have fear of that. So if you got something you want to ask, ask. Make sure it's in the right way and in the right heart. John 14:13 says, "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son." So when you get that answered prayer, you make sure you glorify the Lord by giving him the honor and the glory for it. John 14:14 says, "If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." If you're asking in the right way, in the right heart, you will get it, if it's Lord's will. And he said, verse 29 here, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. This is where our fear takes over. We get our eyes off of Jesus. Yeah. Get our eyes off of Jesus. He was probably looking at the water. He's probably walking on the water. He was looking at Jesus. Out of the corner of his eye, squirrel, he probably saw the water, the waves. Yeah. Probably what he saw out of the corner of his eye.
Right.
So he just probably for a second, he looked down, got his eye off of Jesus, and he started to sink. Think about that. That's how quickly we can get away from the Lord. That's how quickly we can get away from the Lord. And verse 31 says, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? If God has promised everything that we want, our desires, he can give it to us. He promised to watch over us. He promised to take care of us. He took care of Peter. He will take care of us. Have that faith. Do not have that fear of Christ not doing what he said, because that would mean he would be a liar. So as Peter walked on the water until he took his eyes off of Jesus, that's when he fell to the water. The fear of boisterous wind frightened Peter. We do the same thing. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Christ, he was doing the impossible. Think about that. Doing the impossible. Not just doing something, he's doing the impossible, and that's actually walking on water. That's the impossible. That's what we need to have, our faith should be. Stop having fear of what God can't do, and understand and know and have faith what God can do. That's the impossible, because again, nobody's ever walked on water since then. Two people, Christ himself, and then you also have Peter, who asked. He said, walk on the water. Think about that. The impossible is where we need to be thinking. Not, well, you know, Lord, give me $100. Well, you could probably get $100 selling shoes. That's not the impossible. You need to get deeper. We need to get deeper and not have that fear of what God can do. We need just to have that faith. So today I want to focus on fear. The definition of fear of Authorized Version 611 dictionary says a painful emotion or passion excited by the expectation of evil or the apprehension of impending danger. The force of this passion, beginning with the most moderate degree, may be expressed by fear, dread, terror, and fright. Fear is accompanied with the desire to avoid or ward off the expected evil. Fear is an uneasiness of mind upon the thought of future evil likely to fall us. So think about the fear. You're thinking, when you want something, say you need a new car. Pastor asked for a new car many times. Or many times, but he's asked for a new car. It's, you know, so he's that fear of, like, where's it coming from? We need money for this. We're asking for prayer for our health. Someone else's health. Those things, you're thinking, how do you get a doctor, or how do you get cancer removed? We don't know. It's one of those impossibles, isn't it? So we have to think about those, and we have to have that fear, lack of fear. We have to have that faith and not that fear. But it all starts in the mind. That's where I'm trying to go. It all starts in the mind. We allow that fear to get in our mind. We put in our thoughts, and it comes out and portrays in us. We allow that. So we're the ones that need to do that change. Do not allow fear to fester in your mind. That's where it starts, because you can see something, but once it gets in your mind, that's when it goes awry. It also, the dictionary also goes in to say that in Scripture, fear is used to express a filial or a slavish passion. In good men, the fear of God is a holy awe of reverence of good and his laws, which spring from a just view and real love of the divine character, leading the subjects of it to hate and shun everything that can offend, such as a holy being, and inclining them to aim at perfect obedience. This is filial fear. Slavish fear is the effect of consequence of guilt. It is a painful apprehension of merited punishment. So the first one I say is ungodly fear, is where you're fearing and what could happen rather than what the Lord's going to allow to happen. Okay. The second one is godly fear. When you're actually fearing Christ, God himself, the fear of the Lord. So God fear is fearing God, and ungodly fear is our lack of faith and unbelief that we will do what his word says. So I put down some types of fear, and these are real fears that people have. My wife actually is claustrophobic. She's fear of being enclosed. You know, there are people have fear of spaces, agoraphobia. Okay, that's what I'm going to say. How is someone pronounce it? Some people have fear of flying, aviophobia, fear of heights, acrophobia, fear of public speaking, glossophobia. Some people just cannot do this. And sometimes I think I can't do it, but the fear of animals, birds, fear of snakes, spiders, fear of clowns. That's a big one. People actually fear clowns. Fear of blood. I've seen people pass out when they're given blood. Fear of needles. And to think about people, some people fear needles. I've met a few. Fear of thunder, where they just go hide in the basement somewhere. And fear of death. Thanatophobia. I tried. Thanatophobia is the fear of death. People, we should, as Christians, would not fear death. We should. Right, this should not even be a part of our thinking at all. That is Satan getting in your mind. We allow that Satan to get in your mind. So, but here are 10 most common suggested types of fear. First one, fear of failure. A lot of us have, these are to my, what I'm calling more internal. We don't see the outside. We're not afraid of seeing that snake. People see us fear of snakes. People don't see us fearing failure. So these, as I'm calling, these are the innermost fears. So fear of failure, fear of loss, fear of change, fear of intimacy, fear of being judged, fear of success, fear of the unknown. That's a lot of people right there. Fear of loneliness, fear of rejection, fear of being not being good enough. Fear of failure, Moses had that. He displayed that when he said, God, they will not believe me nor hearken to my voice. Fear of loss. I bet Abraham had a little fear of thinking he was going to lose his son when he took his own knife ready to sacrifice him. Fear of change. I bet Job had some fear when he got everything taken from him and didn't know what was going to happen next. Fear of intimacy. We all have that fear of intimacy, especially getting that close to Christ. That's think about that. When I always... We don't want to let the Lord get in that close because we don't want to, for me personally, I don't want to let the Lord know how ugly I am inside. That fear of intimacy. Fear of being judged and rejection. Think about the Samaritan woman at the well. She didn't even go to the well at the same time the other ladies for fear of being rejected and being judged. Fear of the unknown. We can all lose faith of that when we can't see what we want to see or we I don't know what's coming up. I know for myself, going on deployment and going on a convoy, don't know what's out there. The fear of the unknown. You hear bullets hitting your vehicles, and you just kind of keep going. You grab your weapon a little closer, a little tighter, just keep driving. The unknown. Fear of loneliness. You have Joseph, who must have felt loneliness after his brothers sold him. And fear of not being good enough. Moses, again, not thinking he was good enough. Trying to get out of what the Lord had told him to do, saying, I do not speak well, basically. All these real human fears, we probably have all of these many times in our lives. These fears cannot hurt us physically. There are internal fears, and we usually don't display these outwardly. As I said just now, I there are times when I had those fearful moments of the unknown. Not of death when I was deployed, a fear of the unknown. Being on a plane about to land, and you hear, and the mortar, two mortars just landed right where the landing strip is. You don't know what's going to happen once you get there. They said, you got to land. So we land and get on the plane, or get off the plane, and just get our weapons, take off. Don't know what's going to happen. Fear of the unknown. The death is okay because I've got a heaven and home. I'm good with dying. I'm okay with dying. But you think about others in that same plane that are not saved. They had that fear of death, of not knowing where they're going. Okay. In Genesis 48:21, it says, and Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God. There's where it turns about to be. There's where it needs to go back to. But God. But God said, shall be with, but God shall be with you. In Deuteronomy 7:23, but the Lord thy God shall deliver them unto thee, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they be destroyed. Well, Job had to fight. Job is a good example of this. Job got everybody else taken away out of his way so he could do what the Lord wanted him to do. God did not allow David to be taken by Saul. He had that fear of being of loneliness out there on his own. It says in David, in 1 Samuel 23:14, it says, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God. But God delivered him not into his hand. There's where it starts. Where our fear starts, we got to go, but God. When I start fearing of the unknown, what happens tomorrow, what are my kids going to be doing, I always should always be saying, but God. Yeah. But God is always going to be there.
Right. Yeah.
As long as you're a saved Christian. But God. 1 Kings 5:4 says, but now the Lord my God has given me the rest on every side, so that there is neither adversary nor evil occurrent. That could have been Joseph. Joseph being by himself. He got rest. No matter he was a slave, he could have had rest. Matthew 4:19-26 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Moses, he says he couldn't do it, but with God, everything that God wanted him to do, he did. But it has to start with God, but God. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But God. That's one of the most important but gods in our lives. If you're sitting here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's the day. If you're listening online, you need to know this but God. He commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God loved us so much that he died on the cross. That is the most important but God. The fear of knowing or not knowing where you're going to spend eternity is important. And as long as you're in his will, fear should not be in your heart and mind, because that's where it starts. Whether God took me on those days, would have taken me on those days, on those incidents where I was either getting shot at while we're driving on a convoy or mortars coming on a landing strip, or he takes me 30 years from now, as long as I'm in God's will, I should not have any fear.
Amen.
The reality is we're human, and God gives us our own free will, and we probably will, but it should not. It should not. The Bible tells us some fear is good, though. All throughout Proverbs, the Bible tells us to fear the Lord. Proverbs 1:7 says, fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So the beginning of the fear of the Lord begins with knowledge and wisdom. If you know Christ first, you shouldn't have any fear. If you learn Christ through life, you should always have his comfort knowing he'll take care of you. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. You live prosperously, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. It gives you a longer life. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 15:23 says, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Proverbs 19:20 says, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life. So God, you have godly fear. On a daily basis, God takes your care of you daily. That's how I read that. And he that hath it shall abide satisfied. So if you have the fear of the Lord in your life on a daily basis, God will take care of it, and you're satisfied, and you're fearless. He shall not be visited with evil, so he will protect you as well. Proverbs 23:17 says, let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. But the good news, Bible tells us to fear not. Doesn't he tell us to fear not? Daniel 10:12, he told Daniel, says, then he said unto them, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst see, set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy word were heard, and I am come for thy words. Daniel 10:19 says, and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong, yea, be strong. And when ye had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. 1 John 14:16-18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love. Well, this is 18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear that hath torment, he that feareth is not made perfect in love. There is no fear in love. No fear. Think about this. In verse 16, a few verses up, it says, we have known and believe that love, the love that God hath in us, God is love. So go back to 18. There is no fear in love. So there's no fear in God. You have a fearful, you're fearful for godly fear, but God is enough love that you shouldn't have any fear. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. So if you dwell in love, which is God, you shouldn't have the fear that we have. And I say this not to be harsh, but fear is sin. Bible tells fear is sin. We should not be fearful of what we don't know. And that's what it is. Herein our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because that he is, so we are in the world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And I'm going to close with this. You have fear. We all have fear. Some of us display it different ways. Some of us smile during fear. Some of us actually back away from fear. Some of us just run right into it. We all deal with it differently. And when we deal with it differently, the Lord's is in control. We should be in control of that fear. We should push all those fears to him anyway. That's where all our fears should go. We should definitely go to the Lord. Lift him up every day in prayer. The more you talk to God, the more you're in your Bible, the less fear you have. The more love you have in Christ, the less you have fear. The more you get involved in all the things of Christ, you don't have that time to think of that fear. You sit here and dwell on that fear, say, I'm a fear of death. I think about death, that's taking over my mind and my thoughts. When those thoughts and minds are in me, my mind is not on Christ. Right. And where our mind's not on Christ is when fear continuously just compounds. Right. And makes it, and it becomes our world. Today, it's a scary world. It is a heathenistic world at this point. People are afraid of what's going to happen. We already know the end of the story. Yeah. We know how it's going to end. So we should not be afraid. There was a message I heard a while back that said, they talked about, you know, we're talking about diseases, we're talking about wars, we're talking about, tornadoes and hurricanes in the Bible. They're talking about all these things that happen. They're supposed to happen. You should be reaching out to those and saying, yes, that's what we're supposed to happen. All those things are supposed to be happening so the Lord will come back again. We should not fear what's going to happen in this world. The fear, we should be doing our daily things, reading our Bible, praying, going to church, going soul winning, tithing, those basic five fundamentals we should be doing. We should continually do those things. The Lord, we're going to fear less and less. Right. And we're just going to trust in the Lord more and more. That's where we need to be, rather than thinking about how I'm going to pay this next bill. Where my next meal is going to be. You know, what's going to happen is that we should be over here like, Lord, thank you for the peas and bread that I got to eat today. Lord, thank you for the holy shoes I have today. Thank you for that. That's what we should be. We should not be on this side always thinking about what's not happening and fearing what we don't have. We should be appreciative and grateful for what we do have. Those things are where we need to be. The closer we are here and the further we are from here, that fear is not going to be there. Therefore, we need to be. We need to stick on this side. Jesus is here.
or up here. We need to stay right there. Our hand up there just like this. Say, Lord, walk with me. Talk with me. Tell me where I need to go. Tell me what I need to do. When we have those things, we just push that fear away. Because our mind is on the right thing. It's not on what the Lord, what the saint wants us to do. So I say, I've been, you know, our vehicle was being shot at. I'm assuming, Brother Watson, his plane was shot at. You know, mortars coming. You're sitting laying on the ground, with the other buddies just laying on the ground waiting for all this stuff to come over and just get away, just get done. The fear was never about death. The fear to me was always about the unknown. What happens to my kids, my wife? That fear, and I should not have had that fear, because the Lord took care of them. And I think about that. I should not have fear about them. The Lord can take care of them. But that's that human part of us that we have. We are just human, and I don't want to call it sin, but it is sin. But we need to think about that and then just allow the Lord to take care of that. I'll end with this. I thank God that I lived in a country where I could hear the gospel. I think about the fears of just, you know, thinking of being Mexican, of the Mexican people, that they don't have that opportunity to listen, hear that. They don't have the opportunity to hear the gospel. They fear their lives on a daily basis, where they're going to live. They think they're going to be purgatory, and that's not real. That's not real. I just want to praise the Lord for being allowing me to live in the U.S. of A. Not the greatest place in the world anymore, but it's still the greatest place I can think of. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you, God, and thank you, Lord.